Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. Happy February and happy Chinese New Year. Now, 2018 is the year of the dog, so if you are of the canine star sign, a big woof to you, because that's how we start the Lesbian Book Club podcast, with a big woof. After getting all the barking out the way, this month's interview is with Aussie lesbic sensation, I tell you, EJ Noyes, and you're going to love this interview. It's a good one. But before we get to that, let's take a look at what's hot in the US and UK Amazon lesbian fiction charts, and then we'll get around to it. Number one, and riding high in the charts in the US and the UK, is Harper Bliss with book 7 in her Pink Bean series, Love Without Limits. Now, I've said it before and I said it again, I can't say Pink Bean without having a wry smile on my face. She knew what she was doing when she named that series, didn't she? Anyway, now I've met Harper a few times, and I know she's planning on a couple more books in this series, and this is book 7, so if you're not on board with it yet, now's the time to jump on board the Pink Bean train. Book 7 revisits the relationship between Caitlin and Josephine, which apparently started in book 1. We're 1 year on from when they got together, as they embark upon an open relationship. Yes, you heard that right. But the question is, will such a move save or wreck their relationship? Harper has said she reckons this one is extra hot, and the reviews are backing it up with many people saying this one's got added spice. So if you like your romance to stray into the outer edges of erotica, pick this one up. Also burning up the charts is Lesfic Chart Botherer Supreme, J.A. Armstrong, with not one but two books in the US top 5. She's a very talented woman, isn't she? They are Commander in Chief and Open Tab. The first one is book 11 in the By Design series, and it sees Candice just taking the oath of presidency in the White House while her wife Jameson confronts some of her own personal demons. Da, da, da. If you've been following this saga, I'm sure this one is a must-read, as we all weep that the real-life Candice Hillary Clinton is not in the White House, and we're not living out what we're living now. But let's move on from that, dear listener. J.A.'s other book, also in the top 5, is Open Tab, and it features a frankly enormous cleavage on the cover, which I'm assuming should belong to the book's lead protagonist, one Fallon Foster. Now, I think Fallon Foster wins best character name for this week's show, but as we all know, J.A. does have form with frankly fabulous character names. I really must up my character name game, because Fallon Foster, great alliteration, and also kind of almost straying into porn star name, but then just pulling back just when she gets to the edge. So yeah, I like that one a lot. I'd be proud. So this Open Tab book is about recent widow Riley, who strays into Fallon's small town of Whiskey Springs and meets Fallon, who's a flirty bartender with a big heart. Fallon can get her fair share of women, but what she's really after is the big L-O-V-E. That's right, she's after love. And if I was Dolly Parton right now, I would break into song, but I'm not, so I won't. I'll leave it there. You can just imagine the song that Dolly would do for that one, can't you? But this is the start of another series for J.A., so if you want to get on board with that, now's the time. And she's promised a second instalment by the end of February. Yes, she's writing at breakneck speed, almost faster than you can read. So all good news. Casting Lacey by Elle Spencer is still selling like the proverbial scorching hot bakery items. Because let's face it, who doesn't love a Hollywood romance? Nobody, that's who. So if you would like a bit of razzle-dazzle in your lesbian romance, Grab this one while it's hot. It's got great reviews. Also rising to the top of Amazon is Safe Words by Magnolia Robbins. So first let's deal with the author name. Now, to me, Magnolia is a paint colour on the walls of all the houses that are renovated on the fabulous show Homes Under the Hammer, which, if my wife is listening, I do not watch on a semi-regular basis, no siree. But I've never heard a person called Magnolia, heard of a film called Magnolia, but a person. But you know what? I don't mind it. It makes quite a cool name. If I was to have a child, which I'm not, by the way, I might name it Magnolia, or maybe Fallon. Fallon Magnolia. Yeah, that one could fly. Anyway, this one is the story of high-powered bitch boss Scarlett, who's the editor of a fashion blog, so a glossy fashion blog, so I think Devil Wears Prada, and her youthful assistant Natalia, who's drawn to her like a moth to a flame, even though Scarlett is quite clearly a queen bitch on acid. They start an affair, it sounds like it gets a bit kinky, and truths are unveiled. Now, the cover is so hot, it's actually got smoke on it. So this one might be worth a look. I don't know, I haven't read it, but it's doing well in the charts. And it's only 164 pages, but probably on Kindle Unlimited, I would imagine. Last but not least is Fake Brides by Maria Jackson. Now, this one is the tale of Canadian nanny Gloria, whose US visa is about to expire. Her employer, Claire, doesn't want to lose her, so she suggests a fake relationship and marriage to keep her in the country. And can you guess what happens next, dear listener? That's right. Donald Trump himself flies in, marches over the border at Buffalo, and, marches her off and then flies off for a round of golf at one of his many complexes. Or else there might be a happy ending involving pink love hearts and happy ladies, which is what is on the front of the book. I don't know. You decide. I don't know, maybe the first one might be a good option, right? As long as he gets his comeuppance. And that is the chart roundup for February 2018. Hurrah! So February, where did that go then? You know what I mean? It's like January dragged on forever. And then February raced off like a little puppy and is nearly at the end. Amazing. So I hope your month was a fruitful one. I know mine was, in between bouts of a really bad gastric flu bug that laid me up for a couple of days and flu as well. But I'm happy to say I'm through all that and I'm hoping to stay well over the next few months. Work-wise, I just completed the first draft of book 4 in the London Romance series. This one is called The London of Us. It's the story of Alice, Tanya's best friend from A Girl Called London, who realises after she develops a huge crush on a woman named Rachel that she might not be as straight as she once thought. The book deals with Alice coming to terms with the shifting sands of her life, especially when she doesn't just come out of the closet, but rather she explodes out of it. And you're going to have to read the book to find out about that, but it's quite a situation she's put in. Plus it includes some of the gang from the previous tales, but this is a fully standalone novel. And I'm already planning book 5 in the series as well. So if you're a fan of the London series, look out for those, which will be out later this year. But if you are a fan of the London series, I have a fantastic audiobook news because sound the trumpet. That was a bad trumpet, wasn't it? I have 3 new audiobooks out today. Let's have a party. If I had some party poppers, I would let them off right now, but I don't. So, yes, my audiobooks of London Calling, This London Love and A Girl Called London are out now. So if audio is your thing, which I assume it is because you're listening to this, now's the time to dash over to Audible, Amazon or iTunes. And if you prefer your lesbian fiction piped into your ears through the lulling, lilting tones of voice actors. Yeah, Audible actually produced this series. They bought the rights from me and they produced them. But I did get to choose the narrator. From what I've heard so far, she's done a really good job. So I'm looking forward to listening to them all myself. Plus, if that wasn't enough, I am also producing Twice in a Lifetime, which is being read by TJ Richards. I've just proofed that last week. So that one should be out next month. and I'm really excited for that one too. So it's a is an audible, audio, sorry, not audible, audio jamboree in the Leiden Custom Books HQ this month. So hurrah for audio. Other stuff that's happened recently, I went and did a reading and a Q&A session for the LGBT group at Transport for London in February. That was part of LGBT History Month, which was in February, and that was a lot of fun. Some very engaged readers there, and I sold a few books, so you can't ask for more than that. Oh, and they gave me free sandwiches and biscuits. It was the perfect day, frankly. I also went along to a writers' conference the first weekend of this month, which was fab. Great, always great to chat with other writers and hear what they're doing and what maybe I could do as well to sell a few more books and reach a few more readers. Yeah, so that was really good fun. And it was also very good fun to watch people's face when I told them what I write. You know, hi, what do you write? Oh, I write science fiction. Hi, what do you write? I write lesbian romance. There's always a gap. There's always just a pause while people take it in. But it's normally quite well received. But it's just not what people expect to come out of your mouth. So as my mother would tell you, I always like to stump people. So that fits. It fits with me, doesn't it? Anyway, that's enough of me rambling on for this month. So and now it's time to flip over to the fabulous interview I did with EJ Noyes. I hope you enjoy. So joining me today is Australian author EJ Noyes, whose novel Ask Tell stormed the lesfic charts when it was released last year. A tale of lesbians in the army, women in uniform, what's not to like. She's recently followed that up with her second novel Turbulence, a tale of high-flying stockbroker who falls for her equally high-flying personal pilot. EJ, or Emily to her mates, lives in Queensland, which is on the east coast of Australia, with her wife and an array of animals. So welcome, Emily. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
And happy Australia Day. We are recording this on January the 26th, which is a day that you get off work. Is that right?
That's exactly right. So that's, that's why I like it.
Yeah. I'm sure it has other significance, but, you know, the main thing is you get a day off work.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. I mean, the settlement is just like a side benefit of that.
Yeah. And have you eaten lots of Tim Tams today in honour of Australia Day?
Oh dear, I have not, but I did make a pavlova. I should say I cheated and bought a pre-made pavlova and just whacked some stuff on top and said, there you go, happy appropriated dessert that we apparently stole from New Zealand, but we just call it Australian because that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, that's fab. I know my wife is Australian and she would be all over that pavlova. Maybe I should make one later, but I won't. I can say that now. Although we are having meringues tomorrow when we have some friends over for dinner, so that's kind of the same, isn't it? I bought them from a shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's go with that. So how is it in Australia at the moment? Because I was in Australia over Christmas in Sydney, so quite away from where you are, but it was boiling. It hit 40 degrees while I was there, which was, and it wasn't even the height of summer there, so we're sort of 6 weeks on. Are you coping with the heat? Is it still hot?
It is still hot. I mean, it's always hot here in summer. There's no sort of reprieve from that. And just really humid at the moment, which is hard to bear because I am not a summer person, so I am just hanging out for sort of a bit of cooler weather, but, you know.
You're not a summer person and you live in Queensland.
I know, it's so silly, but, you know, but wherever you go, you know, here it's just hot.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Well, we're all jealous in the Northern Hemisphere, although, you know, it has hit a high of 10 degrees today, which is very exciting in London. So
that sounds so fantastic. I would love to have a high of 10 right now. just do a little swap. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down with that. So, tell us a bit about where you're talking to us from today. What can you see from where you're sitting?
I want to say something really. I should lie and say something, you know, like it's a very fancy spot. But I am in my study, where I do most of my writing, and I am staring at a desk full of clutter, basically. That's about it. Just stuff.
So you work in a cluttered desk. Does that
I do.
Is your mind the ordered bit, or is that cluttered as well?
No, my mind is very cluttered. I'm a little bit of a sort of bit frenetic. I sort of I'm a 100-mile-an-hour thought sort of person. I've just got thoughts constantly in my head, so I am a very messy workspace kind of person.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool. So tell me a little about your writing journey then, EJ, and how you got started.
I used to write a little bit when I was a teenager. Nothing exciting, just sort of blurting things that were in my head. But I actually started writing my debut, Ask Tell, because I was bored. And I'd been watching a little bit of Lost, or re-watching, and I just saw Kate and Juliet together, and I just sort of had a bit of a thought about how nice it would be if they hooked up, and just kind of had something come into my head, and that's sort of how it started, just boredom, which is
okay.
Yeah, again, it's not very exciting, but yeah, just for something to do.
So
just thought I'd write a book.
Right, yeah, obviously, as you do. Yeah,
yeah, why not?
And Kate and Juliet, because I've never seen Lost, so were they in the military in Lost?
They weren't, no. Kate was a Juliet was a doctor, rather, and Kate was a con woman. So I don't even know where army surgeons came into it. It's just typical me to just have a random thought and just run with it. So that's just sort of how it came about.
Okay. And so when did you start writing your debut novel, and how long after that was it came out?
It was 2014 I started, and I sort of finished it in 2015, I think, and then submitted it to a few people and had a rejection or two, and then, went to Bella and they said, yes, please, at the beginning of 2016. So, right. Yeah, it came out at the start of 2017. So it was sort of 3 years, I guess, from start to finish to get it from, my brain into the world.
Right, okay, which is not bad for a first book, actually.
No, and it was pretty painless, I have to say, the whole thing. So, no, it was really good.
Okay, cool. Did you ever have any thought that you might publish yourself, or you were sort of determined to sort of get published via a publisher?
I honestly actually was never going to publish it at all. It was just for myself. But I sent it to a friend because I just sort of mentioned, oh, hey, I'm just writing a book. And she said, oh, I'd like to read it. And I sort of went, okay. And I sent it to her, and she said, it was about 20,000 words of just crap, basically. And she said, she said, I really like this, but, I want more of it. And then so I made it a lot bigger. And she said, you should publish it. And I chose to go with a publisher because I just thought, for me personally, self-publishing, I admire people that self-publish so much because it takes so much work to, not only to actually get the book, out there, but to just keep yourself, the marketing side of it, I'm not so good with. So I just thought, I want to try with a publisher. And see how that goes, and then I thought I would probably just quit and throw all my words in the bin if that didn't turn out.
Well,
I'm kind of glad it did. Yeah.
Yeah, I think readers around the world are glad that you didn't throw those words in the bin. So hooray for that. And just talking about the first book, Ask Tell. So you put it out there, and it got an amazing reception, didn't it? What was your reaction to when it first started taking off?
Relief, really, because it wasn't my debut, obviously. A lot of the way it's written is the way that I am, just sort of stream of consciousness sort of stuff, which a lot of people don't like. And it is also a first person present tense novel, which I learned after I'd written it that is apparently like the worst sin you could ever commit in writing a book. And I was just relieved that people seemed to like it, and I was also I had a little bit of fingernail buffing on my chest, just a little bit of pride too, that I made something that people sort of seem to like and that we're talking about, it would be a lie to say that it doesn't give your ego a little bit of a boost. So that side of it was also pretty incredible.
And it's garnered nearly 100 views on US Amazon, which is incredible. And like you say, it's a story of women in the army in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell era. So you just wrote this from you don't have any military experience, I'm guessing.
I don't. I don't have any medical experience.
All medical,
either.
Right? Okay.
And you know what's the first rule of writing is to write what you know. So
I'm very impressed.
I did question myself a lot, but the internet's a really great place to, you know, just learn stuff. And I did have a lot of help from physician friends as well. Uh-huh. And also, you know, found some people that were in the military, in the US military, because, you know, obviously the Australian military is a little bit different, that were able to really give me an insight about just how things work. You know, just little things just make it a little bit more authentic, I guess.
Yeah. So that's, I would imagine, writing something sort of military and medical when you haven't got any experience would be essential, like first-hand experience, right?
Yeah, it was probably the stupidest thing I could have done. I should have just written something about, you know, a person who hates public transport and just works in an office all day. Like, that's pretty boring to someone who just, hates people. So, and hates riding in the train, so...
Yeah, no, kudos to you. And I saw one review said, a woman said that she served in the army and she cried when she read it, and she compared you to Catherine V. Forrest, which, wow. I mean, when you read a review like that, you must think, well, wow.
Yeah, that's definitely really, I mean, obviously that's making me sound like a gibbering idiot because it's so flattering. I mean, what do you even say to that? Someone who's so well known in the legacy world, it just sort of, I sort of went, oh, okay. It just, was a bit mind boggling, sort of thing.
Cool.
Where do you go from there?
Well, on to your next book. Let's talk about that now. And I read Turbulence for this interview, and I have to say I really loved it. I thought it was smart, sassy and sexy, all the S's there. And solid, a solid story. God, I'm good at alliteration,
solid.
Aren't I?
You sure are.
I know, right? Well, I used to work in magazines, and my sort of forte was headline writing and alliteration. I was all over that. My friends say I should work for some tabloids. Good puns. So yeah.
Oh, awesome.
But anyway, the Turbulence also had. I mean, it had the lot for me. Great story, great pacing, and great character development. So tell me about the inspiration for this one, because it featured a stockbroker and a pilot. Again, something I don't know. Have you got any experience of those?
No. No, I don't. The inspiration was actually, I love planes. Everyone who knows me, I'm a huge plane nerd. Like, if one flies over, I always look up. And that was actually what happened. I was just walking through the city, and a plane flew low overhead, and I looked up, and as I have a tendency to do, my brain just sort of made this massive, bizarre leap about how weird it would be to have a one-night stand and just see that person in the cockpit of, you know, as you're getting off the plane. And that sort of morphed into being a private sort of pilot. And Isabel's occupation of stockbroker just came about because I needed somebody who had a lot of money, basically, and who would have a personal pilot. So that's sort of where that came. And I just sort of thought it would be nice to write a book that was so different to Ask Tell, rather than sort of a slow burn, sort of getting together, to have them together at the beginning, and you know, they've already done sex quite a bit, so where do they sort of go from there is how they find a relationship out of that. So just random thoughts.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, random thoughts and boredom have led you to your writing career.
That's what I'm going to call my autobiography.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be great.
It's a
surefire bestseller, that one. And as you say, yes, they have done sex quite a lot. The book starts off with them in bed together. So that's quite unusual for a lesbian romance. But quite refreshing. I enjoyed that bit. But there was a lot of sex in this book. So I lost count of the sex scenes. I was like, oh my God, they're doing it again. So, how did you find writing all those sex scenes? Do you have a method? Were you going back and going, no, I've already done that. I need to do something else.
Something different. That's a contrary to popular belief. Writing sex scenes is not at all exciting.
No, I know.
It's not, you know, like a glass of wine in one hand and, you know, vibrating in the other. It's really... I mean, I'm not shy about them. I think it's probably fairly obvious, but it is hard to... I think especially with a novel like this where, you know, they're communicating through sex because they're too afraid to communicate what they're feeling. So trying to sort of find an evolution from, you know, just sort of just raw sort of let's just have sex, orgasms, done, to something a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess not softer, but, you know, a little bit more connected rather than just, you know, like, bonking like bunnies in there. But yeah,
good alliteration there.
Thank you very much. I might go into advertising. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there is I do think it almost borders on an erotic sort of romance, but it is there. I did actually cut some sex scenes out of it, but I just sort of it to me it just made sense that to have that in there as their communication. So
yeah, no, absolutely, it did definitely. But I agree with you, it's sort of does border on the erotic side of novel. But it seems to have gone down well with readers, so there you go. So
there's some people like that. I mean, some people don't, and that's fine. Some people prefer less sex and some people prefer more, but it just I mean, I guess it is what it is. And and for the novel, I just sort of thought, you know, that they just were just, I mean, women have sex, so, you know.
Indeed. But as well as sex, there's also a great plot and a great story to the book. And also a load of swearing was one thing that really struck me. They're a bit potty mouths, which I love because I swear a lot in day-to-day life and I think it's very real.
But a lot
of people can get a bit offended about it. Was it ever anything that went through your mind when you were writing it?
Honestly, no. Partially because for me it did fit the characters, particularly Isabel, because she is a little volcano. And just, you know, the characterization of that is, you know, she would swear a lot. For me that's just the way that it worked. And again, you're always going to have some people that don't like things like that, and that's great, that's fine. And some people that have no issues with it. For example, my next novel actually has the main character, I think the worst thing she says is shit. And I think there's one usage of the F word, and that's not even her saying that. So, that's a prime example of just, I think, where it just fits the character that some swear a lot and some don't.
Yeah. And the other thing that struck me was a connection between the two leads, which you engineered very well from them sort of getting together on page one and then how their relationship develops. But their connection sexually was immediate and it never let up. So how did you go about engineering that that relationship and changing it as it went along?
I just shoved them together a lot and crossed my fingers that they liked one another. but I think I had Isabel's personality in my head first, that she would be neurotic, basically. And I just tried, I think that in this novel that Audrey, the pilot, is sort of the one that glues it and that really sort of drives their connection, because I made the perfect woman for someone, you know, it sounds a bit egotistical, but someone that I thought would really complement Isabel's personality and almost just soothe her and just, you know, take her from being like a 10 down to a 2, you know, where she could just settle and just relax and go back to the person that she was before, you know, this high stress job and all that sort of stuff. So, and I just sort of thought, well, what would attract me to someone? So, yeah, that's just sort of tried to make two women that were sort of opposite but the same at the same time.
Yeah, no, you did a really good job of that. So well done.
Thank you very much.
And as you said it for Ask Tell, you did write this from this one from a first person perspective as well, which, like you say, a lot of people are a bit, oh my God, it's this first person. Whereas, I wrote my first book from a first person perspective with no idea that that was, as you say, the biggest sin you could commit.
Yeah.
I quite like first person, and clearly you do too, because I think you can really get inside the head of your lead. But have you had like a lot of comments about that?
Overall, it's actually been really positive. People saying that, even people that say I hate first person, I hate present tense, but I really enjoyed this. I think I did have one that basically said that it was the world's worst choice, but I still kind of like the book, which for me is actually is a compliment.
Yeah, backhanded.
I don't think. Yeah, you know, it works. I'll take it.
Yeah.
It's I don't think I've actually had anyone say I didn't like the book because it was in first person, which is great because and I agree. I wrote Ask Tell. I'm a bit of adult, so I didn't even realize that I was writing in first person present tense. That was just how it came out because you're right. You really get inside the characters' heads. And because they do have a lot of internal thoughts, which is me all over in real life, where I'm just constantly self-narrating what's going on in my, you know, what I'm seeing, and it's just, I just really like it, and I just feel more connected to them. I've tried third person to write, and it just, I don't know, I just feel. It just feels really awkward for me to write, but to read, I quite like third person. You know, I'll read anything in any, you know, person tense, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you're not judgy. You're not a judgy person.
No, I'm not a fussy reader. I just like books.
Yeah, I'm that way too. But you know, some people get very vexed about first person. But there you go.
Yeah.
So, but coming from Australia as you do, how was it? I assume it was like a choice to write US-based stories to appeal to the US market, which
That's
is the biggest
exactly.
reading market. Yeah. Have you got any plans to write an Aussie story anytime soon?
I have three that are in various stages of completion that are all set in Australia. And my next release, Gold, actually begins in Australia down in one of our ski fields. So we only have like two because it just, as we were saying, it's just really hot down here and we don't get much snow. So that actually starts in Australia. So, but it does move to the US because the characters are American, as you said, because, it is a big market. And I think it's tricky too because the Australian language is so specific. And, you know, if you just the way we word things and obviously we have a lot of slang, things like that. And I sort of thought, is anyone going to understand if I sort of go, hey, you know, we're doing something the Savo, you know, it's like I'd have to put a little glossary in the back with little translations of what everything is so that people can understand it. So yeah, but no, I definitely, I do have some, but I'm not sure when I'll finish those and then consequently when they'll actually be released.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got three books on the go at the moment.
I have more than three.
Okay.
As I said, I'm a bit frenetic, so I write a lot. I just sort of, I flip back and forth quite a bit between what I'm working on. So.
Okay. So do you have a job as a full-time job as well, or is this your full-time job now?
I do, yes. I work in an office, which, it pays the bills, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's a good job, yeah. Just it's good because I do get time to write during my lunch hour and also don't tell my bosses, but I do write at work when it's quiet. and just alt tab a lot. So it is good, but I do have a day job and I guess writing is more of a hobby
right
for me.
Okay. But you have managed to churn out a few books then, considering you do have a full-time job. So you're in the swing.
Yeah. It's just, I write whenever I can, and I write on the train and things like that. So it's just, somehow managed to get a lot of words down, and it's good.
Mm-hmm. So what is your, do you write every day? What's your writing process?
I try to, and the only time I don't is if, I've busy at work, the horror, how dare I actually have to do my work at work.
How rude,
I know, it's terrible. And if late home or, go out or something, then I may not write that day. But, I do write pretty much every day. I am better in the early hours. I'm a bit of a grandma. By about 8 p.m., I'm sort of just having brain fades, and it's all I can do to sort of play some video games and, have conversations with people. So the words don't come out as well sort of later in the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you write before work, do you? Do you get up and then write before work?
Oh, no, we have 6 horses, so...
Wow.
Morning time is for... it takes me about an hour to get into work, so, morning time is for frantically throwing them, breakfast and making sure none of them have damaged themselves, and then, But on the train, I write a little bit if I'm not sort of reading or... Mm-hmm. Listening to, music or an audiobook. I've just discovered audiobooks recently. And then just, when I get to work, I try to sneak a bit in. But, during lunchtime is probably my biggest, and, a little bit after work.
Okay.
Not brain dead.
Audiobooks will eat up your time. I love an audiobook.
Oh, I know. I can't believe I took so long. I was really resistant, and then... I discovered Abby Crayton and sort of went, oh, hello. Hello.
Yes, hello, Abby. If she appeared at the GCLS or something like that, she would she'd be a bit of a hit, wouldn't she?
She probably would, yes. I think she would have quite a little crowd around her.
Yeah. Especially, I find, with podcasts and with audiobooks, it's a very intimate experience, isn't it, having this voice in your ear?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So
no, I hadn't actually considered that anyone would actually listen to this. So now I just realise that someone probably will listen to this.
They will. They'll be listening right now.
My voice. Yep. This is my voice in your ears.
So, and I assume what's your favourite thing about writing then since you started on this journey?
Probably just being able to let all the weird stuff in my head out. Just making characters. I just really like having characters sort of talking to one another and that sort of stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
It's probably my favourite part.
Okay. And is there a least favourite part you have?
Probably the insecurity of knowing that people are going to be reading it, I think, can be a little bit crippling at times. That sort of is not particularly fun, so that's probably my least favourite, I would say.
Yeah, I totally get that. Every time you put a book out, you're putting a little bit of yourself out there. So
that's it.
And have you had a good piece of writing advice given to you that you could share with the listeners?
I'd say probably just the best thing someone ever told me was just get it out, just get it on the page and worry about making it nice later, which works really well for me, because I find if I overwork it in the beginning, I just don't get anywhere. So just blurt it all out and fix it up later.
Yeah, sounds good. So so for your first two books, you've hit women in uniform, army and pilot, and moneyed women. So what's next for you? What can we expect from you in 2018?
In June, my third book will be released with Bella. It's called Gold.
Mm-hmm.
That one's about an ex Olympic alpine skier who had a career-ending crash in 2010 at the Vancouver Olympics. So she's basically just packed up and now just sort of coaches around the world at ski fields. And she meets a lovely American. She's an American. Meets a lovely American orthopedic surgeon who has a teenage daughter and while they're vacationing in Australia. So, yeah. And then I also have the sequel to Ask Tell. I believe that's maybe in December of this year. Mm-hmm. So that one's called Ask Me Again. So that's just following up where Sabine and Rebecca, after what happened in Ask Tell. Yeah, so that one's... So I've got two coming out this year, I think.
Okay, and then... So that's two books for listeners to look forward to. And will there be any horses featuring in any of your future books as well?
I do. I have two. One that I've sort of just... In thought stage, and I've just sort of blurted as I do. I don't really plan things. I just sort of write scenes and then gradually bring them all together. Mm-hmm. And then hate myself because I haven't planned anything and nothing's working. And then I have things that I really want to keep, but it doesn't work. So, and I think that one is about Olympic dressage, which I'm not even going to try and explain. Just if you're interested, Google dressage.
Yeah.
And watch some nice videos of nice Olympic dressage. So that one,
okay.
So that'll be interesting to sort of balance information about horses and not make it boring.
Well, you know, dressage, it's a cutthroat business, dressage. It really is. When the Olympics were in London in 2012, I live in Greenwich, and the all the equestrian stuff happened in Greenwich. So I saw a bit of dressage and I saw a bit of, you know, horses galloping because we've got a big park here, so that's where they did it. My friend does dressage and she tells me a lot of stories.
It is. It's dressage is definitely a diva sport. So
yeah, absolutely. And so, final question: if you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, who would you choose and why?
I think I would have to say Colleen McCullough. She, I think she really introduced me to loving reading with her Masters of Rome series. And probably another Australian author, Bryce Courtenay, who, again, he introduced me, I suppose it's a weird term, to adult reading with The Power of One and the sequel to that, Tandia, as well. So just brilliant wordsmiths. I would, you know, love to have a fraction of that sort of talent. It would just be fantastic.
Cool. So what was that? Bryce Courtenay, is it?
Bryce Courtenay.
Courtenay.
He wrote The Power of One.
Okay. I haven't heard of either of those authors, so that's always good to...
I know.
I know. So it's always always good to get recommendations.
Yeah. Not Les Fick, but... obviously still perfectly good, so
yeah absolutely. No, it doesn't have to be Les Fick, so that's all good.
No.
Cool, well thank you so much for this. It's been really great chatting with you, and good luck with the two books coming out this year. I'm sure they're going to carry on building your growing reputation.
Thank you very much.
That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club. So this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you fancy dipping into any of my books, Twice in a Lifetime, Nothing to Lose, the London Romance series, or the All I Want series, you can find out more at www.clairelydon.co.uk or just look me up on Amazon, Kobo, iTunes, Barnes & Noble, Bella Books, or any of the other digital outlets. And if you're into audiobooks, I've got four now, so head on over to Audible, iTunes, or Amazon for most of those, and Nothing to Lose and Twice in a Lifetime will be on extended distribution as well, so you can find them on other websites that do audio too. Social media: I'm on Twitter at Claire Lydon, I'm on Facebook Claire.Lydon, and I'm on Instagram at Claire Fick. Plus, if you'd like a free lesbian romance, sign up to join my VIP Readers Club and I'll send you one for free, because that's the kind of gal I am. Just head on over to www.clairelydon.co.uk and fill in your email address in the box at the top of the page. Join me next time for more hot book club action, where I'll be interviewing Scottish author Jenny Frame. And thank you so much to Denise at My Lesbian Radio for hosting and producing this podcast. It's much appreciated. I'll see you when March comes around. See you then.